From Decatur to Dunwoody, from Tucker to Toco Hills, from Chamblee to Stone Mountain, this is the voice of commerce in DeKalb County. Now, broadcasting from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Decatur, this is DeKalb Business Today.
And welcome into the latest edition of DeKalb Business Today on DeKalb Business Radio. My name is Matt Holmes, alongside executive producer Jason Beck. Now, a special Thursday edition of the show here, DeKalb Business Today, as we shine a light on some of the issues affecting seniors, not just here in Metro Atlanta, but across America, and some of the groups looking to help them. There's a big event coming up in December here in Atlanta, and we're going to talk with our panel about that coming up in just a second. But first, I want to remind you that we are on social media. Follow us on Twitter at DeKalb Radio X. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DeKalb Business Radio X. You listen live each Friday at 10 and noon here on DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com. But if you can't, make sure to download our free podcasts on our website, or, of course, they're a free download on iTunes as well. This edition of DeKalb Business Today brought to you, as always, by the Bornelis Insurance Group of Dunwoody. For all your insurance needs, contact Callan and her talented team at 1-800-376-8967, or check out the link on our website, DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com. All right, let's introduce our panel now, and our first guest is Marty Bell. He's the Executive Director of the National Aging in Place Council. Marty, good afternoon. We appreciate you being here and all the way from suburban D.C., right?
That's right. My pleasure, Matt. Thank you for having us.
Now, the reason you're here in town, you're getting ready for the big annual meeting of the National Aging in Place Council coming up December 2nd and 3rd at Georgia Tech.
We are working with Georgia Tech on a big program we'll talk about over the rest of this hour. And Atlanta, we find, is one of the best resources for aging ideas in America. A lot of the smartest people in the aging sector are in this town. We also have a terrific and large chapter of the National Aging in Place Council in Atlanta with 50 different services that you could access to your home. And so we've chosen Atlanta to do our annual meeting at in December, and also to begin a year-long pilot in January that we hope will be a model for aging in place in America.
Excellent. We'll look forward to talking more about that. You can follow them on Twitter at NAIPC. Follow or look at them on the web at ageinplace.org. We'll talk with Marty more coming up. Our second guest, Doug Leader with Prosper Home Care. Find them on the web, prosperhomecare.com. Doug, we appreciate you being here.
Hey, it's a pleasure. Glad to take part.
So tell us a little bit about how you got into this business. Tell us a little bit about Prosper.
Sure. You know, I actually, I had a mother who is a nurse. I do have a mother who's a nurse. Grandmother was a nurse, and had a younger brother who was handicapped, and that was kind of my personal entree into caregiving. And when I really wanted to pick a company to build and a business to get into, I wanted to have one that I was passionate about and had some give back and would help other people. So it was really a great combination of both my upbringing and my personal experience, as well as I worked for WebMD, Medcast, Medical News Network, so I had a good business foundation for that also.
How long has Prosper been around?
We've been in business for 10 years.
And I would imagine steady growth with the demographic changes, not just around this area, but in America.
It's busy. And I often tell people it's never dull.
Doug Leader from Prosper Home Care, we'll catch up with him more in just a second. But the third member of our panel is Bob Carr. He's the co-founder of Common Courtesy Incorporated. They're on the web at ccrides.org. And this is a really cool group, a cool mission that you have. Tell us about it.
It really is. It really is, Matt. Thank you for having us here. About 7 years ago, my wife and I witnessed a near-miss accident involving seniors and one person who should not have been driving. And at that moment, we looked at each other and said, this needs to change. Somebody needs to take the reins, because not everybody should have to drive. At this point, though, at 7 years ago, and certainly to some degree now, when you give up the keys, you lose your independence.
Right.
And when you lose your independence, it leads to depression and isolation, and it's a downhill spiral. So we sought to create a system that would mitigate that. And we were working with volunteer drivers for many years, but 2 years ago, unique as you understand about our business, is we partnered with Uber.
So, that's very 21st century of you.
Yes, exactly. So the millennials and the older ages are coming together, I guess, in some ways. And we are the intermediary for that. So we raise the funding for it. and we help the seniors navigate their rides.
I'm sure you got some great stories about that. We'll look forward to hearing to them, hearing them over the course of the show coming up. You're listening to DeKalb Business Today, a special edition. And let's get back with Marty Bell, again, the executive director of the National Aging in Place Council. What is aging in place, Marty?
Aging in place is a term that's probably about 10 years old now. None of us know where it came from or who was the first person who said it. I think it's popular enough throughout at least the older sector of the American population that people understand that it means trying to stay in your home for as long as possible as opposed to going to a nursing facility or a hospital and spending the end of your life there. But our feeling is that even though people know what aging in place is, they don't know how to age in place. It's one thing to want to stay in your home, but you need all the services in your home that you would get if you were living in a living facility. You need the right home and the right tools in your home, whether it's bathroom bars or a kitchen with lower counters so you could sit at the kitchen. You need access to health care. You need transportation, like Common Courtesy provides. So what we've been working on is trying to establish a system for aging in place. The other day, I was thinking about when I was a kid, my mother used to load my brother and I into the car on a Saturday morning, and we lived in a suburban town, and we'd go to one area of town to buy food, and one area of town to get a haircut, and one area of town to buy clothes. And then some guy came up with this great idea. He built a mall. Well, right now, aging in America is like the little town we grew up in, with everything spread out, a lot of great ideas. And what the National Aging in Place Council is trying to do is build the mall.
Talk about the presence that you all have here in Atlanta.
Doug, you want to talk about that?
Certainly. We have a great chapter. The Greater Atlanta National Aging in Place Council was started 6 years ago, 7 years ago almost, and has become the largest chapter in the country. And it is made up of all different walks of senior care and senior services, from home care providers like myself that provide caregivers, to elder care senior legal folks, to home accessibility renovations, to daycares, to assisted living. And we meet. We are not a niche group that just gets together to pass around referrals. It's a very much a mission-driven organization. Our mission is not only advocacy, which I head up. I'm the advocacy chair for the Greater Atlanta National Aging in Place chapter, but also education. So we are constantly, every month, trying to find places where we can go out and express and share the education through the National Aging in Place Council website and the tools that are there, and just help people learn how to age in place. They need to plan ahead, and if they're already in the place they call home and want to call home forever, they probably need to make some modifications. So anything we can do to help them age in place in a healthy and safe manner, that's what we try to do.
Now, Doug, I do want to point out, as we're talking about aging and talking about helping seniors, your business does not just help seniors. You're helping others who need help in their home, correct?
That is correct. Disabled individuals, younger individuals also fall under our care. So anybody that needs extra help, what I tell people more than anything else is we're the people that help people stay at home as long as it's the safe and healthy and affordable thing to do. And most people want to stay at home. The surveys are always coming in the 85 to 95 percentile. If people are asked, hey, where do you want to grow old? They will stay at home.
It's interesting, as you're listening to Marty talk about what it is that you're doing with the National Aging in Place Council, it sounds like a pretty big endeavor, but in reading up on your company, you don't really think about the fact that there's a lot of people in this country nowadays who maybe English isn't their first language, they come from a different background. You guys are working with a lot of different ethnicities.
We are indeed. In fact, we serve almost 200 Korean clients, almost 50 Nepalese Bhutanese clients. We have Indian clients. We've had some Russian clients. And it's a bit of a challenge. You have to hire caregivers.
I was going to say, how do you do that?
Well, you hire translators, you hire multilingual people to be your community development managers and to go out and recruit and to find these clients and caregivers. You learn a little bit of language. And again, it keeps things quite interesting, but it's rewarding. If you come into our office, it's a little bit like coming into the United Nations. I've got a Russian manager, a Korean manager, the Nepalese Bhutanese manager, the American managers. It's a fun environment.
That's pretty impressive. Talking with Doug Leader from Prosper Home Care and Bob Carr from Common Courtesy, to both of you, is it hard to find good help? Is it hard to find these people who are going to help out. You mentioned, Bob, that you guys are partnering with Uber drivers.
Right, right. It was a concern for us going into it that the Uber drivers would not be sensitive enough. It's been the absolute reverse, that these drivers are loving to drive the seniors because they're interacting, they're sharing stories. The seniors are telling their story to these drivers. So it's been a very positive experience for us doing that.
I wouldn't think you'd be an Uber driver unless you weren't a people person.
That's a good point.
You know, you're basically in the business of putting strangers in your car in a very confined space. And I bet they would make some excellent caregivers as well. To answer your question about my industry, we're constantly recruiting. Of course, we're growing. In the home care business, it's a bit unique in that we can't guarantee hours because our clients dictate our hours and they go up and down every day. So for a caregiver, sometimes they're active with multiple agencies to make sure they can keep their schedules full, which we support. We want them to be able to keep their schedule as full as possible because we can't guarantee the hours. And one of the side effects of that is we recruit constantly and we find good people, but there's some people that we don't want to hire as well. The challenge is not only finding people that are certified nursing assistants and personal care assistants with first aid and CPR and TB test and all the bare minimum requirements, passing drug tests, background checks, but you got to find the people who have a passion for taking care of others. You know, we do a personal interview with all of our applicants and ask them what their story was. And it's the folks that say, well, I grew up taking care of my aunt, or I grew up taking care of mom, or, you know, I just have a passion. I know this is good for me. Those are the people we want to hire. Go ahead, Marty.
Yeah, Matt, one of the big issues with older Americans is you want them to feel comfortable trusting strangers to come into their homes to provide them the services they need, whether it's health care or elder law or home modification or even transportation. And so that's one of the reasons these chapters exist. The chapters screen all the candidates. They interview everybody before they join the chapter. They have to pass a background check. And the fact that they know each other and they interact with each other. One of the things that our chapters do is kind of a speed dating event where they meet each other.
Okay.
They spend time with each of the members talking to each other about their businesses. So they get to know each other and know how to establish a relationship. So by having all these people in senior services working together in one community, we hope to build a level of trust amongst the seniors in that community.
And that's got to be important. There's not a day that goes by that you don't hear a story on the news talking about a scam targeting seniors. And so Bob, for your business, Doug, for your business, you have people, Doug, going into their homes, Bob coming to their homes. That level of trust and vetting those people has to be critical.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Right. There's a culture. There has been a culture in our country of a fear of seniors. We don't know if they're going to fall, if they're going to get hurt. Mm. We don't know, what's going to happen. And in some cultures, the seniors are considered knowledge bearers, are very respected individuals in their culture. And so we hope that we're bringing that back, that people are interested in the lives that our seniors have had. That they respect their knowledge and their stories. They have some beautiful stories to tell.
It's a special edition of DeKalb Business Today here on DeKalb Business Radio. We're talking about senior care and helping out seniors nationwide. And here in Metro Atlanta, Marty Bell, the Executive Director of the National Aging in Place Council, is here with us. Doug Leader from Prosper Home Care and Bob Carr with Common Courtesy Incorporated. Marty, you mentioned earlier, you touched on it, we'd like to explore it a little bit, a pilot program that you have coming to Atlanta. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, we are dealing with people with many of whom have cognitive issues, mobility issues, or frankly, confidence issues at this stage of their life. And the senior sector is about, because of the boomers entering retirement, the senior sector is about to become the largest single sector of the American population for the first time in history. So there are many people in business and government focused on this sector now. And every day I'm hearing about new products, new websites, new approaches. But how do people with cognitive or mobility or confidence issues find out about all this stuff? What's the guide for them? So we are trying to bring eventually all the services in the country together, but we're starting out in Atlanta, and we're trying to bring the whole senior service community in Atlanta together under one umbrella so it could be one-stop shopping. So a senior could go on one website or call one phone number and access any of the services they need. So instead of having to look for a transportation company or a home service provider company or a food delivery service, they could go to one website or call one phone number, have somebody to help them on the other end of the phone and find any service that they need.
It's an interesting idea because when you talk about, you know, nowadays you say, well, you can just Google anything. With the millennials and with the younger, yeah, they can go on Twitter and they can do this and that. But with that older generation, if you've got a great grandmother in her 90s, she may not be surfing the web and surfing social media.
15 to 20 years from now, we'll be able to do all this on the internet. But we've got a gap and we've got a lot of people we have to take care of during that time.
We also have sons and daughters that are now dispersed all across the country and across the world, whereas a couple generations ago, hey, everybody lived in the same neighborhood and down the street. So in all of our lines of work, I have people calling in from California saying, can you take care of my mom? And they want to be connected. So having that one number for the same purpose to get all the services they need will be so efficient. Really looking forward to the pilot.
And I applaud Marty for bringing this to Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta has a chance to really make a difference and create this model that would be nationwide. What we find is that most of the seniors we service really operate within a 3 to 5 mile radius of their home. They live there for a reason. They're shopping, their services are in that area. But even if it were a mile away, they couldn't get there. So transportation becomes a conduit for them to be able to get there. But this is a model that the NAIPC has projected to really grow nationally. And again, I applaud the organization for spearheading this event.
Doug and Bob, how do seniors find out about your services? How are they finding you guys?
I think that's one of the things we're working on now. We got to do a big campaign and get the word out. We've got social media, websites, billboards, any and all ways we can produce it through the Atlanta Regional Commission. I hope that we can use all the resources to get it out. But those are things that we should have available soon.
All right.
One of the biggest attractions here is Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech has a terrific research institute. There's a lot of folks there focused on the older Americans. They're testing products for older Americans on behalf of the Arthritis Foundation and a lot of other people. They have a study group of 600 seniors spread around 10 counties who they work with on a regular basis. And what we're going to do is track this whole pilot project over a year, and we're going to look at the people who utilize the services that are available and how it improves their lives, as opposed to those who are not using the services and are still struggling to find the things that they need. So we'll come out with a report in the end, hopefully to show how Aging in Place has bettered the lives of the people here once they learned about it and learned how to access the services.
Bob, it's interesting. There's got to be a disparity when you talk about you can run a car business, you know, working with Uber in the city. That's easier. It is all within a mile or two. How about rural areas? Is that a challenge, a market that anybody's gone into to help seniors there?
Well, I think we had to realize going in, Matt, that this is not a panacea. We cannot serve everybody. And Uber has certain limitations of where their drivers are. But we found that a lot of the Uber drivers that might live in Lawrenceville were coming into Buckhead to get their rides. Now they stay home, so they love us. The Uber service has expanded significantly in the past 2 to 3 years. I guess it's maybe 3 years that they've been here. And now they are out into the seven county metropolitan area of Atlanta. So, yeah, we do have services.
Marty, does the pilot that you mentioned, does that have a name?
The pilot is called Call Hal. Hal is the home assistance line. And we will have a Hal who will be on all the billboards and on all the advertising materials, and that's who you'll be calling to get the help that you need.
Very cool. That's something that you'll, I guess, maybe unveil at the meeting coming up December 2nd and 3rd here in Atlanta?
Or we'll wait till January when we launch the pilot.
Okay, very cool. Tell us a little bit more about that meeting. You mentioned it's going to be at Georgia Tech. The dates are December 2nd and 3rd. What kinds of people are going to be there? What's some of the business that will be attended to?
We're trying to gather all the thought leaders in various areas of the aging sector from all around the country. We had a summit meeting, an aging in place summit meeting in Washington in October of 2013. And we brought together 25 leaders from 25 different businesses that serve seniors. And we tried to narrow the focus so that it was easier for seniors to look for the things that they needed. And we broke it down to five major categories. Home. Do you have the right house? Could you afford over time the house that you have? Is it set up so that as you age, it's comfortable for you and you have the things you need? Health and wellness, both insurance and care. Financial, personal finance. Do you have the finances you need? And are you aware of all the benefits, federal, state, and local, that are available to you? And are you taking advantage of them? There's like $1.2 billion a year in benefits that go unused in this country that are available to people. Transportation. Do you know how to find the transportation you need? Single hardest problem to find. Bob Carr is working on it, but that's the single hardest problem to solve.
Are there other Bob Carrs around the country?
There will be. Let me jump in here. That is absolutely, Matt. That's the vision. We're beginning a model we just started a couple of months ago that has chapters across the country, affiliations with Common Courtesy. We're the only ones who are really doing this right now. But we have the model. We've put it into writing, the mechanics of how it works, and we're rolling this out to affiliates around the country soon.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, it's so necessary and needed. Going back to one of Marty's comments about the growth of this aging population, I think it was Marty's term when we first met, a senior tsunami. I don't think that a lot of the Atlanta population, that a lot of our general population realize that the baby boomers are aging and are going to be here around. There's somewhere, I think the Atlanta Regional Commission says somewhere around 400 to 500, maybe 420,000 over 60 right now. By 2040, that will grow to over 1.2 million.
It's not just the number that's growing, the life expectancy.
It's
they're going to
the
be around
life expectancy.
Longer.
Right. You know what? They're going to be keeping their cars if we don't watch out.
Yeah. No, longevity is a big issue. I mean, we have a whole generation now that even if they had resources and they did the kind of planning, financial planning that we wish everybody would do, but everybody doesn't do it, plan to live to about 85, many of whom are now living to 95 and beyond. Mm-hmm. So they worked their whole life and put money aside, received pensions in some cases, previous generation did, put away their own money, expecting to only have to spend to 85, and now they're going to live for 10, 13, 15 more years. So how do you fund that? How do you figure that out? But to finish the people who are coming here, so we have home, personal finance, health and wellness, transportation, and community involvement and social interaction, which is a big, big part of it. The biggest fear we hear from seniors is loneliness. And they need to be able to sustain the kind of social involvement with other people, with the arts, with sports that they've had earlier in their life. So we will be bringing in leaders from all over the country in these five areas to address these areas. We'll look at topics like there's a new collaboration between housing and healthcare since the Affordable Care Act. People who return to hospitals after being treated in a hospital result in a fine for the hospital. So what hospital systems are doing is setting up clinics and doctor's appointments in housing facilities. It's almost like the world I grew up in where the doctors came to our houses instead of us having to go to the doctors.
Sure.
So we'll be looking at that. We'll be looking at new ideas and technology. What kind of new technology has been developed? We'll look at the boomer sensibility as opposed to the sensibility of the older adults who came along before the boomers. How do you talk to one group as opposed to talking to another group? If you're going to sit in a room with a senior, you have to know how to speak to them with a lot of love and a lot of empathy. So we'll be looking at all those kinds of issues. And we have chapters in about 22 cities and members all over the country. So the leaders from all those chapters will be coming in to join us.
Is there involvement from the faith community? There are senior centers out there, I guess, but I would imagine for seniors, a lot of their involvement is through the church, the mosque, the synagogue.
The most of the involvement comes on the local level. So there is involvement from the faith community in a lot of the chapters all around the country. I don't, does the Atlanta chapter have any members from the faith community?
None that I know of.
No, okay. But in other chapters, we do have people.
Let me just speak to that about the faith community. It's very strong in the word of mouth. You ask, how do we get the word out? In every religious organization has an opportunity to bring back people who have been unable to attend a regular service. And you ask about stories earlier. I could tell you so many stories, but one of a gentleman who had been a founder of this church 25, 30 years ago, and in the past 5 years hadn't been back, had been going to the services at his senior living facility. When he was able to get transportation that the church funded for him to get back, integrated him back in, the people were not clapping out loud, but literally clapping when he came down the aisle into the church for the first time. He called us up afterwards and said, this has been the best day of my life. So it just, yeah, the faith organization has a big opportunity to not dismiss the older adult, but rather bring them back in.
Well, you mentioned earlier, Bob, the isolation, depression, loneliness. There's one thing to be able to get around and run your errands. It's another thing to have something like that you can look forward to over the course of the week and know you're going to be able to get there.
So this old psychology major, me, goes back a while back and said, what is this need that we have? Well, actually, if any of your listeners know the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, that the fourth is self-actualization. Well, what is quality of life? Self-actualization. So that is actually one of the basic needs. Do older adults have that basic need? Absolutely. So we're being able to bring that quality of life back to them, whether it's going to the hairdresser, going to church, going to the Publix grocery store. We have some folks at a senior living community down here who travel, three can travel, as you know, in a car. They travel together. The girls travel together to the grocery store. So, yeah, it's bringing back things where we can now continue to age in place. It's enabling. It's enabling the older adults.
Matt, in addition to the services that the faith-based facilities provide in social work and other social service, community organizing, religious institutions are extremely involved in affordable housing and building great affordable housing all around the country. And that, of course, is a big concern of ours. It's one of the issues that we're dealing with. And we have a lot of major developers, affordable housing developers from around the country who are working with our organization.
Matt Holmes here on a special edition of DeKalb Business Today as we talk about helping seniors. Marty Bell, the Executive Director of the National Aging in Place Council, Doug Leader from Prosper Home Care, and Bob Carr from Common Courtesy Incorporated. We're talking about the annual meeting of the National Aging in Place Council happening December 2nd and 3rd at Georgia Tech. Marty, we always love it when meetings and conventions come here to the greater Atlanta area, more tax revenue for us and tourism dollars. But it would seem to me you coming down here from the D.C. area, Washington, D.C. would be a natural fit with the politicians there. Is there a connection? Is there a lobbying arm to what it is that you're doing, trying to get more help from Washington?
We actually met in Washington the last 2 years.
Okay.
And so we wanted to try something else. And then when we decided that we had to test one city to form this system, to build the mall, we found that in Atlanta, first of all, we had a great chapter with a lot of great members and a real diversity of businesses, and that there were a lot of other great minds in the city working in the aging sector. And there was the Georgia Tech Research Institute. Really the only two labs in the whole country studying aging and aging products like this are MIT and Georgia Tech. So here we are, and happy to be here.
Absolutely.
Marty and I both had the pleasure of commonly knowing a gentleman named Dr. Brad Fain, who is really heading up a lot of that down at Georgia Tech, doing a great, great job. He should be acknowledged as well.
We got a presidential election coming up next November, and we're going through the, you know, the debates and everything. And one of the lone issues that I don't think I've heard about so far, issues affecting seniors. I'll ask you, Doug, and I'll ask you, Bob, is Doug, you're running a for-profit. Bob, you're running a nonprofit. Is enough help there from Washington? Is enough help there on the local level?
Well, there could always be more, but there is more focus, I think, on senior and aging than there has been in the past. The knowledge that the aging population is growing so quickly is out there. We work very closely with the Georgia Coalition on Aging, which is an advocacy group, and we're lobbying for changes every year to make laws better, to make people safer in their homes, whether they're seniors or disabled, and also for funding and for transportation. There's bills on the floor constantly that are making improvements.
You guys are just two men with two groups. Is there enough incentive there, whether it's federal, whether it's state or local, is there enough incentive there for other people to step up and try and emulate your efforts here and around the country?
Let me go back with to respond to Doug's. My response to you, Matt, would be no. A little sharper. No. Sure. There is not near enough effort. There is not near enough awareness. There's, in what I've found as a business person, really, is that there's a lot of talk and there's a lot of planning and there's a lot of statistics being thrown around, but there's not near enough doing. We need people. We desperately need people to step up and do. And that's been the missing mark right now.
It's going to change it.
And I'll agree, it takes a long time to change laws. So, I mean, I've seen some change and I've seen progress, but I will agree there could be a lot more. And trying to get both sides of the government to agree and to pass all the laws that need to be done takes time. It took me 2 years to get the First Offenders Act amended so it included cases of abuse or exploitation and neglect in the community environment and home care environment, because people were getting kind of a get out of jail free card if they were getting caught for crimes in those environments. So it takes time. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen fast.
It's shocking that aging and retirement have not been mentioned in any of the debates thus far by any candidate. But it's going to change, because as I said before, the seniors are about to become the largest sector for the first time. The over 65% of the population votes in much larger numbers than any other part of the population. 55% of the over 65s voted in the last election, and only 25% of the millennials voted. So if you want to get elected, you're going to have to appeal to this part of the population. Retirement and aging in place need support from the bully pulpit. We need the president to stand up there. He doesn't have to pass any legislation. We'll work on that. He's got to talk about it. He has to make aging an important priority in the country. Now, this administration, when they first came into office, was interested in that. But when the Affordable Care Act became a boondoggle in Congress, they had to drop certain things in order to push for other things. And they felt like it was important to get the Affordable Care Act passed first, and so they focused on that. So they dropped the CLASS Act, which was focused on long-term care, and they dropped their overall program or did not go public with their overall program for aging in place and for supporting seniors. Now there's a lot more talk within that administration about going forward, what they could do, what could they do in their few months that are left.
Before we run out of time, let me ask you about lobbying efforts, because obviously if you're going to put pressure on politicians, it happens obviously through lobbying. The most visible, the most recognizable group, I guess, when it comes to senior issues would be AARP. Their membership, I think, starts at 50 or 55 years old. We're talking with this group about people who are in their 70s, 80s, 90s, and beyond. Does it need to be more focused? Can a group like AARP that starts at 50 be able to serve that older community?
AARP has millions and millions of members, so they have an awful lot of clout. I don't think the age matters. But I think you need to focus in on the issues that you need to make a difference in and that are most important. You need to have a sense of priorities. The chapter here is in the process. Well, let's just lay it out there and talk about the issues that you're lobbying for that are important.
The efforts that we're trying to push in the next legislative session, one of the important ones is to create an elderly and disabled abuse registry. Mm-hmm. Because a huge problem that exists is unless someone is actually convicted of abuse or neglect, that when we do all our expensive background checks and everything else, it won't show up. And what's happening is different organizations and departments such as Adult Protective Services and Child Services, they go out and do investigations and in many cases substantiate that there was a case of abuse. But those cases will never be seen by individuals like myself who are hiring caregivers to take care of elderly and disabled people unless there's a criminal conviction. So we're pushing for an abuse registry, which would include substantiated cases as well as criminally convicted cases to make it a safer place in the environment. Same goes for children. That actually, in the last legislative session, a new child abuse registry was approved and is being created, which is great. But in my view, and I shared this earlier, I don't want to hire a child abuser to take care of an elderly or disabled person. And I would think a provider that's taking care of children doesn't want to hire somebody that's been accused, convicted, or even substantiated for abuse against an elderly or disabled. So I really hope that this registry will get created. I feel strongly that it's going to be a national registry at some point and that they should be combined.
What are some of the other issues that you're pushing before local and state lawmakers?
One that I'm also in discussions with is trying to protect Medicaid providers. I serve the majority of my clients through Medicaid waiver programs, which are for both disabled and lower income individuals. So the amount of money we get reimbursed is dictated by the state and by the government. And there are some things like the Affordable Care Act, although I'm a huge believer and I want everybody to have health care, but some of the overhead that's being required of Medicaid providers is making it very difficult. We're already operating on very thin margins. So I'm hoping to find some creative ways to maybe have other funding to provide the health care so our caregivers can have health care and retirement plans. You talked about the silver tsunami. My view is there's going to be a silver tsunami after the first one of the caregivers that are taking care of all these baby boomers or all these seniors that are now aging, and we need to get prepared for that. So trying to make some changes for that to keep the Medicaid providers healthy and to keep the caregivers healthy and hopefully create some way that they can start saving for their future as well.
Go ahead, Marty.
To me, the two primary national issues to deal with first are one is providing more affordable housing for seniors all around the country. The cities are getting incredibly expensive, and a lot of people can't afford to live there anymore. And, you know, most affordable housing is built via tax credits. And so it does limit somewhat the tax base for a community. But by building the buildings, you're hiring a lot of new staff. You usually bring in a lot more retail into the area. So the taxes are paid back and other kinds of taxes. So it's really no loss to provide more tax credits so that more housing could be built. Every single tax credit practically in the country is utilized. If there were more credits, there'd be more affordable housing. The other issue is long-term care, because, and especially with longevity. Because people are living into their 90s now, we have to face the fact that every one of us is going to need some kind of assistance at some point. And you have to, and at the end of your life, when you probably have the least money left, you have to be able to pay for that assistance. So we need some kind of long-term care insurance plan where we could access money to pay the caregivers in the later stages of our life.
Now, before we wrap up, let me throw this out there. I would imagine that the ideal senior wouldn't want to have to rely on any of this. They want to have enough money socked away so they have their own personal driver. They have their own personal health care worker. They got great family that can live next door or take care of them, whatever they might need. And they got all the resources. The reality is that that doesn't happen in many or maybe most cases. What's the conversation you have with people who maybe aren't seniors and are starting to look at their retirement? What age they need to start thinking about and looking at their retirement? What's that conversation?
You know, we plan our careers and we plan to send our kids through college and we plan our vacations and we don't plan to age. And to us, that's the most important message now from our organization. Plan to age. That's why we've broken this down into those five categories. And you need to sit down and you need to examine your housing, your finance, your health situation, your health insurance situation, how long are you going to realistically be able to drive? Can you access public transportation where you live? Are you better off living someplace else where there's more public transportation? You have to sit down at various stages of your life and plan for all of that. Now, we're creating some tools to help people plan for that. We have, if you go to ageinplace.org, there's a template called Act 3, your plan for aging in place. And it walks you through each of these areas and asks you questions about your home and about your finances so that you could assess your own needs and figure out your own situation.
How about you, Bob?
Yeah, well, I really want to make a plea to your listening audience that this voiceless generation become a voice. We need partnership with the older adults to say, here's what I want, here's what I need. And we have allowed them to fall below the radar and become a voiceless generation. So I would say don't let us dictate your future. Take a hold of what you want, what you need, what services. I would love it if you had an overwhelming response from people over 65 at the NAIPC conference in December, because then they can speak the voice of the receiver.
Yeah. Doc, about a closing thought from you.
I would say one thing I often tell my families and the seniors is if you can get long-term care insurance, try to get it. Can you really afford not to have it? You know, I often tell the folks my age whose parents are aging, if they're not too old, you may want to pay for it yourself, because if they get in a situation where it's either going into a facility or staying at home, sometimes it can cost, you know, $10,000 a month if you need around-the-clock care. So I'm always happy when I have people come to me that do have long-term care, and I wish more people had it, and I wish it was more accessible and more affordable.
I don't want us to sound negative and be scaring everybody, though, because a great architect who's designing a lot of homes using universal design said to me the other day, aging in America now is a great opportunity. There are wonderful ideas and wonderful things happening. In Washington, they just built a housing facility with 25 apartments. 17 of them are for seniors, and 8 of them are for mothers under 25, single mothers under 25, who need to go back to work to be able to afford to take care of their kids. So the seniors pledge 100 hours a month to provide care for the mothers.
What a
and
great
the mothers,
idea.
And the mothers pledge 50 hours to run errands for the seniors. In the in South Carolina, at the Medical University of South Carolina, they have an intern program, a mentor program for all the young doctors who are studying gerontology. But the mentors are not doctors. The mentors are seniors. And the point is that young people who are in medical school don't understand the needs of seniors and what their thinking's like. So they hang out with each other for the whole time that the doctor is in medical school, and all they do is talk to each other, and then they graduate together. In Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, the Red Hot Mamas is a dance troupe of all people 55 who do backflips and jumps and jump on trampolines, and they call themselves vintage ladies. I mean, there are great things happening in aging all over the country. So it is a good time to be aging. It's probably the best services and ideas were available to us in history. And what we have to do is make everybody familiar with what's available.
Take some thinking outside the box. I'm sure that'll be on display at the annual meeting of the National Aging in Place Council coming up December 2nd and 3rd here in Atlanta at Georgia Tech. Our thanks to Marty Bell, the Executive Director of the National Aging in Place Council. You find out more about them on their website, ageinplace.org. They're on Twitter at NAIPC. Doug Leader from Prosper Home Care. You find them on the web, prosperhomecare.com, and at Prosper Home Care is their Twitter handle. And then Bob Carr from Common Courtesy. They're on the web at ccrides.org, ccrides.org, on Twitter at Courtesy Rides. Gentlemen, we appreciate you being here today.
Thank you.
That'll do it for this special edition of DeKalb Business Today. We'll be back tomorrow, Friday at 10 a.m. at our regularly scheduled time for another edition of DeKalb Business Today. For executive producer Jason Becknell, I'm Matt Holmes. We'll see you next time.